Welcome to At the Crossroads Church weekly podcast. Our hope is that you will grow in your walk with God and be blessed and encouraged in your daily lives as you listen. You can visit us at our website at atthecrossroads.ca.
I got to be right in the center. There we go. Last week, Pastor Peter finished. We were doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, and he finished off last week talking about the part of the prayer at the very end. It says, well, let's say the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so last week he talked about finishing off the series on Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Did a great job. I listened to the message. And a few things that he touched base on last week, what I appreciate is he explained that temptation comes in waves. You know, temptation comes in waves. It's not always there. And my challenge would be that if you're struggling with temptation on a day-to-day basis, then there has to be a realignment in our spiritual life, right? Temptation will come, but it doesn't stay. And it shouldn't be a battle that we have every single day. You know, we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was tempted on two occasions. We look in the scripture. One was when he was water baptized, right? He went into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil. He was in fasting for 40 days, and he was tempted at that time. And then later on, we see before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went through a season of tempting as well. And I find that temptation comes when we're tired, when we're exhausted, when we're busy. And busy is being under Satan's yoke. We get so busy that we don't take time to be encouraged and be refreshed by the Lord. And so so the journey of life as believers, there will be seasons of temptation, but that temptation shouldn't be there on a daily occasion, if that makes sense to anyone. And so we understand that temptation comes in waves. How many have been in that situation where it's like you're being tempted? You're like, I don't know how I'm going to resist this, but somehow you push through. And a few days later, like, hey, that was easy. Like, I'm not tempted anymore. It comes in waves. Once it passes, then you're okay. Okay. We learned last week also that God himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by desire and enticed. And so God doesn't tempt us, but our own desire will draw us away and will be enticed into sin. We learn that there's a difference between the testing of the Lord and the tempting of the enemy. In James chapter 1, verse 7 to 12, it says that the testing of your faith produces patience that you would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so when we go through the testings and trials of the Lord, when we go through that, it creates patience in us and it perfects us when we endure. And the Bible actually says in James, if we read on, it says that when we overcome temptation, we're given the crown of life, which is promised to those who love the Lord. And I believe the crown represents rulership, and I think you can have it in this life. It's not necessarily just eternal. When you overcome temptation, God is able to give you another level of rulership in your life. You can have another level of your spiritual journey because you're overcoming. See, God can trust you because you overcame. So, for example, I gave this example in the first service. If you're like me, when I was 16, my parents said, okay, curfew is 10 o'clock. Well, I'd come home at 1 a.m. Okay, I did that a few times. And the next thing I figured out was my dad now was not so quick to lend me the truck. Hey, Dad, can I borrow the truck? And he'd be like, no, you don't come back on time. So he could not trust me, right? Of course, I changed. I became a good boy after that. But if you obey and you come back, then your parents are able to trust you because of your obedience. And so when we're tested by the Lord and we're obedient, then God says, I can trust you. Here's more authority. Here's more blessing in your life. Amen? So the testing of the Lord is great when we learn to be obedient. Okay? God also, we learned last week, will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. We learned that God himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire. The word desire actually speaks of a longing. a desire for what is forbidden. It's that lower nature. It's that carnal nature. And we're going to learn today that the way to overcome that carnal or that lower nature is with the higher nature. It's walking in the Spirit. And I'm going to start this morning in Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles or you're following on the screen here, I'm going to look this up here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Paul says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now, we understand here that during this time, we had Jewish leaders who were becoming believers in Christ that were encouraging the Gentiles to say, hey, listen, you have to have faith in Jesus to get to heaven. Right? The new covenant is about having faith in Christ and the finished work of the cross, but you should also be circumcised on the eighth day. And if you're not circumcised as an adult, you should go and get circumcised. Now, that wasn't a fan favorite. And Paul was addressing it, and he said, listen, if you're trying to bring people back under the old covenant, then you've missed the mark. Because we live in the new covenant, which is based on better promises. And so now we understand in the new covenant that you no longer have to cut away the flesh. Naturally, you cut away the sin nature or the sin desires of your heart. You cut it away and you walk in relationship with God. And this is what Paul was speaking about. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. When we get into religious works-based faith, we have fallen from grace. How many know we need grace? We need grace. It's not about what we do, it's about who we know. Okay? For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. How do we wait? By faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what matters is faith working through love. Look at your neighbor and say, faith working through love. So Paul was saying the focus is not whether or not you're circumcised or you're following the laws. The focus should be, is your faith in Christ working through love? Okay? You receive the love of the Father, you love yourself, and you love others. And that's how faith operates. That's what it's about to be part of the new covenant body of Christ. Okay? And so, Galatians chapter 4, if we go to chapter 4, verse 8 to 11, Paul has this fear. One of the things that he's afraid, he's fearing for the church. He's afraid that they're going to move back under the law. And he says this in verse 8, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather that now that you're known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. And he says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain. Paul was fearful that the church would move from relationship, a faith relationship with God, back into legalism. Are you worshiping on Saturday, or if you're not worshiping on Saturday, or yet then you know you're not really worshiping on the Sabbath. You should be worshiping on this day, and you need to keep this feast, and you need to do this, you need to do that, and pulling people back into types and shadows instead of living the life of faith that only comes through Jesus Christ. And this was his concern, and I think this is a concern today as well. We understand in Galatians, if you're reading through chapter 2, Paul is encouraging that the people do not return back to the law. You can have faith. It's about faith. It's not about the law. In chapter 3, he talks about how we're justified by faith. It's not our works, lest any man shall boast. It's our faith in Christ. That the purpose of the law was to be a tutor, to lead us to Christ. So we recognize that we need Jesus because we're a mess. In the Old Testament, they couldn't keep all the laws. They realized, hey, we need a sacrifice for our sins. And they would slaughter the lamb and they would have a sacrifice once a year. But Jesus came to be the sacrifice. We recognize that without him, we are left in our sins. And then we learn here in Galatians chapter 4, just summarizing the book, we become sons of God through the door of faith. Okay? And we call God Abba. Say Abba. Abba. Now the word Abba is Aramaic for father or for daddy. And so we move from a place where we're trying to appease God by our works and trying to measure up to being able to come to God and say, hey, daddy, can you help me? Father, can you help me? And it's such a change, such a transition of thinking that the Jews were really struggling with it. And Paul was saying, this is my fear, that you will struggle with it so much you'll move back into behavior modification and walk away from this relationship thing that I'm trying to bring you into. All right? And chapter 4, we see that God's purpose was to send Jesus to rescue us from slavery and to bring us into adoption, to be sons and daughters. You know, there's no joy greater. I get a kick to see, you know, these kids who are foster kids and they come into the, and I've seen video clips of this, maybe some of you have seen this, and where the parents come and say, you know what, we've adopted you. And the joy that comes over, because now you're not just keeping me because you're getting a little bit of a paycheck. You're keeping me because you love me. You're making me part of your family. And this is what God has done. He's taken us into a relationship with him, and we can call him daddy. We can call him father. And we can have this intimate relationship with God. It's so powerful. And I think sometimes we forget that. And Paul basically is declaring this point here, if you read it, that going back into legalism would be no better than going back into pagan worship. No better. That's a strong statement. So you might as well just go back into pagan worship if you're going to move into behavior modification and lose your touch with daddy, with father. And so what's the point that I'm trying to make? It's that through faith, say through faith, we are adopted. We receive a supply. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, we see what the supply is. Therefore, he, being God, who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know that it's by the hearing of faith. We believe that he's our Father. He supplies the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor and says, he supplies the Holy Spirit. He supplies. This is what we have. We have a full-grown Jesus living on the inside of us, each and every one of us. We have God's Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think one day, you know, we'll get to heaven and some of the saints of old will say, what was it like to have God live inside of you? To have the Spirit not just come upon you and speak and whisper in your ear, but to have him live within you. And what was that experience like? And did you take advantage of that? And you'll be like, I don't know. I guess it could have been good. I don't want to say that. We've been supplied the Holy Spirit. Such a powerful, powerful truth. Okay? Now, Galatians chapter 3, 5 tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit. And why is this important? Because he is called the Paraclete, or the word, English word is comforter. So say that. Look at your neighbor and say, he's my comforter. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And we tell people all the time who are maybe close to faith or they don't know Christ, they're not Christians, they're pre-saved is what I like to call them. And we tell them, you need to find peace with God. You need to make peace with God, right? Jesus, he did his part. Now we need to come and repent and come into relationship. So we need to find peace with God, right? Does that make sense? Okay, and so we have to understand that we are a three-part being. So you're a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, your emotion, and your will, and you live in a motorhome that moves you around. Gloria put off her motorhome. She put off her vehicle, but she's more alive than she ever has been. She's in the presence of the Lord. And one day we will all put off our motorhomes. Well, you know, that's it. and we're going to move out to our new residence. But in this soulish realm, okay, we realize that life is full of pressures. Life is full of fear. There's guilt, there's shame, there's anxieties, there's pressures that come because of the busyness of life. And in this life, we will have troubles, Jesus assures us. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And what happens is our physiology moves out of homeostasis, which is the word for peace. And we get anxious. And as humans, we make decisions based on emotions. And I've always heard this, well, don't be led by your emotions. Do you know that every single major decision in your life is based on your emotions? Like the person you marry, you don't just go, wow, I think it's a good idea. Like you want to have love for that person. You want to feel safe with that person. Say, hey, I feel good. It's going to be good. I think I love that person. And then you get married, right? When you buy a car, you say, well, it just doesn't feel right. I just don't like the way the seats are and the engine's too loud. I can hear the road. How many know what I'm talking about? And this one feels good. And then you buy it. You know, we sold our house in Kingston. We had a real estate agent who was really good at selling homes. And she came in and she said, you got to rent a storage unit. I said, why? She goes, you got too much stuff. It looks small. So I said, all right. So we rent a storage room. We move all this, half of our house went into the storage unit. I wish we would have left it there, but anyway, it's all gone. And then she looks at the walls and she goes, you got to take down all the pictures of your family. I said, why would I do that? She said, put them away. You can leave the yard up, but don't leave the pictures up. I said, why? Tell me why. She said, because when people come in, they start to imagine and emotionally connect with the house and they can see themselves in your house. But if there's your pictures up, it just shuts them down. They don't make that connection. So I didn't know that. So we took it down and we sold it just like that, right? And so it's very interesting to understand that the decisions that we make in life, we make because we are looking to really connect emotionally, right? And so what happens is this feel-good hormone, dopamine and serotonin, there's this drip that happens. And there's these pathways that are created. And it's the feel-good hormone that happens in our physiology. And we have such an overdose of that in today's society. Dopamine actually acts on areas of the brain to give you feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, and motivation. Dopamine also has a role to play in controlling memory, mood, sleep, learning, concentration, movement, and other bodily functions, okay? So there was a time in my life, I'm ashamed to say this, years ago, where it's like I had to have a glass of wine or a beer to relax, to go to sleep. This is before I was a believer. But because the pressures of life, the anxiety that I dealt with, some depression, and I needed some comfort. I needed some dopamine. I needed some rest. And so I turned to alcohol. I heard someone say cigarettes. It could be food. It could be gaming. It could be, you know, too much screen time. But these things create dopamine, the feel-good hormone that's released, and it causes you to go into homeostasis, causes you to go into a place of peace and comfort. And what happened to me and what I experienced is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. How many would say amen to that, right? Amen. But what happens when you have a glass of wine or you have a beer or whatever, it's like, and I hear people say that, like, I don't have a drinking problem. I'm not an alcoholic, but I like to have a glass of wine so I can relax because they're trying to move into a place of peace. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit is the one who brings comfort and true peace, why do I need to have a glass of wine or a beer or a cigarette or, you know, an extra hamburger? When I already had one, I shouldn't have two, right? Why do I have to look to different things to create, you know, homeostasis or peace and comfort in my life when He is the Prince of Peace and He has sent His Holy Spirit to be my comforter? When you're filled in with the Holy Spirit, the feel-good hormone is released in your life. And this is why revival is more important than you think. Because when I was coming back to the Lord in my early 20s, I remember going to church. The church was open 4 or 5 days a week. They had renewal meetings going on. And I wanted to be in the service because I wanted to worship. I wanted to feel the peace. I wanted the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to bring comfort to my life. And I traded in my drugs, alcohol, addiction, smoking, and everything. I traded it in for the Holy Spirit. He now became my comforter. And so one of the reasons why, as believers, we struggle with temptation is because we're not drinking enough of the new wine. We're not drinking enough from the fountain of living water. We're not receiving that comfort from the Holy Spirit, and we're choosing other ruts of comfort, if that makes sense. And I like in Galatians chapter 5, we'll go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says here, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All right? So what happens is, when we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why? Because the counterfeit is not as good as the real deal. There's no high like the Most High. I see, when I started experiencing, and I know some people have gone to AA and different things like that, and you find your root of, and that's good, and that's great. For me, what happened was I started having an encounter and having a peace that passes all understanding that began to flow, so that it was like if I had a drink or I had a cigarette or I smoked a joint, it would actually bring me down. When you experience the Most High, there's no high like the Most High. So now I don't need the things of this world to bring me into homeostasis and comfort and peace, because I have peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Does this make sense?
Yes.
And so this is what God is saying to us today, is that if we're struggling with temptation on a constant basis, it's probably because we're not drinking enough. Amen?
Amen and
ouch. See, Paul came and he was preaching to the early church, and there was a minister named Apollos, and the scripture says that he taught accurately the things of Christ. But he was pulled aside and told, it's not fully accurate because you're forgetting an element of the gospel, and I want to teach it to you. And so this is what he said in chapter 19, verse 2. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, the believer said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what have you were you baptized? And so they said, into John's baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptizes with the baptism of repentance, saying that people should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So they were being baptized in water, and they were putting their faith in Jesus Christ, which makes them believers. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's the question I have for you is, have you been baptized, fully immersed with the Holy Spirit? I know you have the Spirit of God in you because you're a believer, but have you cried out to God and said, God, I want to be immersed by your Spirit so that you become my source. You become my rut of comfort and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. I want to draw from you. That's important. And if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says that we need to maintain our life. We need to charge the battery. How many know we got a charged battery, right, on our phone? If we don't plug it in, guess what? It dies. It doesn't work the next day. I do it every day. But he says here, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have to get before God like David and say, Lord, you are my source. I need you. I need you to be my comforter. I need you to be my counselor. You have to make some tough decisions when you want to just, I think I'm just going to sit and, you know, look at my screen, say, no, I'm actually going to spend some time praying because I want to get that dopamine release from you, God. I don't want to get it from the screen. I don't want to get it from this. I don't want to get it from sin. I want you to become my source because you are my true comforter. And it's making that shift. It's hard at first, but if we can make that shift, then God will come aside alongside of us. Now, last verse. Can I give you one more verse? One more is okay? Okay. Some of you aren't speaking, so I don't know. One more? Okay, one more. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The word living actually means to breathe, to be full of life, not lifeless, not dead, to enjoy your life. God, the Holy Spirit will come. Rivers of living water. There's an enjoyment to life. I enjoy my Christian life more than I ever enjoyed life before Christ. There's no comparison. I get around, you know, we go to Cuba and once in a while we just went and, you know, I see people drinking and acting silly and dancing and everything. And I'm just like, oh man, that's such a downer. Like, I don't enjoy that. I wouldn't enjoy that now. Because I've experienced the Holy Spirit. If you still enjoy that stuff, you're like, I really want to go party. And I'm telling you, there has to be a shift. You have to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Become my source. Become my comfort. Because there's no high like the Most High. There's no high like the Most High. You don't want the old world. You want the life of the kingdom. So here's the thought. As I'm closing this morning, we're going to have the worship team come. So we're going to worship, and then we're just going to pray a ministry prayer over you guys. So if we want to just have the team come up. I'd like you to, in your mind, just picture in front of you a graph from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so you can see that. And we're going to be gracious to ourselves, and we're going to put ourselves at number 5. So where are we with the Holy Spirit in our relationship with Abba Father through the Holy Spirit? So we're all at 5. Here's the question. What do you need to do this week to move you from a 5 to a 6? That's manageable, right? And it might just be that the Lord is saying, you know, you need to spend time with me first. Don't just wake up and watch CNN. Wake up and spend time with me. I don't know what it is. There's something God will say. It might be just something simple. Maybe you used to go for a prayer walk and you cut that out of your life because you're busy. And the Holy Spirit will put that, his finger on that. So you need, I want to have a prayer walk with you. I want to meet you in the throne room, right? On the ensuite bathroom in your house. Just, there's something God will speak to your heart. And it's just saying, Lord, I want to move from 5 to 6. I want to get closer to you this week. And I want you to be the one who creates homeostasis, peace and comfort and joy in my life. I don't want it to be substances or foods or entertainment or sports that make me feel good. And those things, you know, it's not that all those things are bad, but you are going to be my source in my life in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand? We're going to worship this song and then I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our message. If you are in the Quinte West area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning at 24 Dundas Street West, Trenton, Ontario. Check out our service times on our website at thecrossroads.ca.